Enhanced role for immigration officers at U.S. airports as shutdown frustrates travelers and screeners. Yeah, my understanding right now is that every single American airport is completely blocked up. Because of TSA shortages, because they're not getting paid. They haven't been getting paid for a while. Look at that, man. Fuck that. JFK airport. So yeah, they're sending ICE agents to replace TSA agents. Isn't that funny? Failing state. So be careful at airports. Trump said he's sending ICE agents to U.S. airports as some air travelers face longer security lines due to partial government shutdown. On Monday, ICE will be going to airports to help our wonderful TSA agents who have stayed on the job, despite not getting paid for 6 weeks. Unclear duties for ICE agents. Heh, duties. Confused Secretary of Transport tries to justify this as smart somehow? Oh, please.
A while ago this morning, posted this, saying on Monday, ICE will be going to airports to help our wonderful...
ICE is getting paid. TSA is not.
...wonderful TSA agents. Is that really the plan? Are we going to see ICE officers manning those airport security checkpoints?
Well, I would say that, you know, one of the leverage points that Iran has is trying to drive up the price of oil. It's leverage. Democrats want to see long lines at airports as leverage. President Trump's trying to take that leverage away and not make the American people suffer. So TSA agents are law enforcement. They know how to pat people down. They know how to run the X-ray machines because they are, again, under Homeland Security with TSA. So if we can bring in other assets and tools to assist TSA to get rid of these lines, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And the president's looking around every corner to make sure the American people don't suffer during the shutdown.
Now, and I understand ICE and TSA are both under DHS, but obviously greatly affect what you're doing at the Department of Transportation airport. And I saw the president just a short while ago this morning posted this, saying on Monday, ICE will be going to airport.
Sorry, I was looking at a link. TSA, if you're flying out of LaGuardia today, the TSA line is now so long it has spilled outside of the airport. They're having passengers queue outside on the sidewalk. Good Lord. Atlanta.
TSA line slowing down, coming all the way back.
Neat. Another from LaGuardia.
Sheesh.
Only going to get worse as fuel prices continue to go up. CEOs of multiple airlines have already essentially said, like, we literally cannot make money off of existing flight prices at, like, considering the hike in fuel prices. It's literally not possible. Like, the prices have to go up. They might have to cancel flights, have everyone rebook. Aren't Democrats in every news network blaming Trump for this? Do we even have Democrats? I don't know. I never see them. They never talk. What do? Does this affect international zones or just American? This affects everyone on Earth. I think Chris Murphy tweets sometimes. That's pretty much the extent of my engagement with the Democratic Party. Yeah, Chris Murphy tweets sometimes. That pretty much sums it up. And God bless him for it. I'm trying to find the article that I saw. United trimming flights. Fuel costs go higher. About 3 points off flying in off-peak periods. No, I saw another one. Oh yeah, here we go. The reality is jet fuel prices have more than doubled in the last 3 weeks, Kirby told employees. If prices stayed at this level, it would mean an extra $11 billion in annual expenses just for jet fuel. For perspective, in United's best year ever, we made less than $5 billion. Airlines are heavily subsidized and run on incredibly thin margins. Flying ain't their real business anyway, it's their bonus programs. Yeah, but like, if they were losing money on the flying... I'm going to have to raise prices. They should raise prices anyway. Airline tickets are way too cheap. It's like a toxic downstream incentive, you know? They're overly subsidized. Maybe we'd build some fucking trains if we allowed airline prices to reach like a more natural equilibrium. It was said concerning the low profit of $5 billion. $5 billion is an incredibly low profit margin for fucking United Airlines. That is an unbelievably low margin. That's like your profit margin is like razor thin. It's like 1% of your expenses. Is that profit or revenue? Profit. United Airlines profit margins. Yeah. a full year 2025 pre-tax margin of 7.3%, which is not a lot. Also, I believe that is a relatively good margin. Yeah, that is a relatively good margin. Net profit margin tends to hover around 5%, it looks like. Yeah, around 5% down here. Yeesh. Planes are expensive to buy and upkeep. I'm just hearing this. Yeah, the COVID mark on every graph made now is pretty funny. Can't wait to see what happens to all the private jet owners. I mean, they're fine. Fuel prices don't affect you that much when you're a billionaire, right?
President Trump posted on Truth Social, quote, "If the radical left Democrats don't immediately sign an agreement to let our country, in particular our airports, be free and safe again, I will move our brilliant and patriotic ICE agents to the airports where they will do security like no one has ever seen before." Now, in a subsequent post, he said that he instructed ICE agents to be ready by Monday. And now the president is saying that you, sir, are going to be in charge. How is that going to work? Are ICE agents going to move into American airports starting tomorrow, Monday?
Yes. And I'm currently working on the plan now of execution, working with the director of ICE and the administrator at TSA, the acting administrator. So we'll put together a plan today and we'll execute tomorrow.
Okay, so there are a lot of questions here. First of all, are ICE agents even remotely trained to handle security at airports?
Fucking nope. The average ICE agent would flip the fuck out over the stress of an airport environment. You better take their guns away, or they're going to start blind firing into the security line.
ICE agents receive high level training, and you know the ICE agents are assigned at many airports across the country already. They do a lot of criminal investigation on smuggling at airports.
Yeah, in a policing sense, not in a fucking line management sense.
You know, you've got TSA agents covering exits, you know, people that enter through the exits. You know, certainly a highly trained ICE law enforcement officer can cover an exit, makes people don't go through those exits, entering the airport through the exits. And that stuff like that relieves that TSA officer to go to screening and to reduce those lines. So wherever we can provide extra security, I don't see an ICE agent looking at an X-ray machine because we're not trained in that. There are certain parts of security that TSA is doing that we can move them off those jobs and put them in the specialized jobs to help move those lines.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. So what you're saying is when you move ICE into airports, they are going to be just around the exits and the exteriors. They're not going to be helping people get through the lines and screening people's bags.
Those discussions are going on now. I'm not an expert at TSA, so that's why I'm talking to the TSA administrator and the ICE director, find out where we can fit in. We'll have a plan by the end of today where we're sending, what airports we're starting with and where we're sending them. But that's the discussion we're having right now. I mean, I ended the discussion to do the show, and I'll be back having those discussions when I finish. So it's a work in progress, but we will be at the airports tomorrow helping TSA move those lines along.
And I know you said it's a work in progress, but at least at the beginning, are there specific airports that you're thinking about starting with? And how many ICE agents are you considering deploying to do this?
Again, that's going based on the discussions we're having today. I think we need to. My opinion is that
I don't know. It doesn't really sound to me like this shit's happening tomorrow.
We concentrate on airports where the longest waits are. We prioritize those. The large airports with those long wait, like 3 hours. I think we got to prioritize what we do like we do everything else. So, again, having those discussions, continued discussions after this show with the leadership of those agencies will lead us to some decisions based on prioritization, where we deploy, how quick we deploy, how many agents we deploy. So.
Right.
Hopefully we'll have all those answers here by this afternoon, but we're working on it. And when we deploy tomorrow, we'll have a well-thought-out plan to execute.
With respect, if you're doing this in 24 hours, how well-thought-out could it possibly be?
Again, ICE has been at airports across the country for a long time. It's just expanding those things. Look, how much of a plan does it mean to guard an exit to make sure no one comes through that exit?
How hard could it be? Literally, dude, how hard could, come on. It's like, fine.
Security options, and these officers are well trained in security, and they're well trained in identification, and like, we're going to do what we can to help TSA move those people to the line.
And last question on this, because this is important, and I realize that this is clearly a plane that you're creating while it's in the air here, but this is a question that a lot of people are asking. Is it just going to be crowd control, or will ICE officers also be doing immigration enforcement while they are at the airports?
We do immigration enforcement at the airports all the time. So is that going to change? It's not going to change. This is about helping the men and women of TSA. They've lost several hundred employees. The lines are really slow because of the shutdown. This is about going to helping TSA do their mission and get the American public through that airport as quick as they can. While adhering to all the security guidelines and the protocols, we're simply there to help TSA do their job in areas that don't need their specialized expertise, such as, you know, screening through the X-ray machine. Not training that, we won't do that. But there are roles we can play to release TSA officers from.
Why do they all sound so dumb? Yeah, it's such a whiplash after listening to the foreign minister of Iran speak for 20 minutes. You know, just a reminder.
The non-significant roles, such as guarding an exit, so they can get back to the scanning machines and move people quicker. And we're just simply helping our fellow officers at TSA.
I'm going to bring in my panel now to respond to that. Welcome, one and all. Congressman Kiley, I should say the last time you were on the show, you were a Republican. Since then, you've switched your party affiliation to independent as you try to work through the redistricting in your home state of California. What do you think about the idea of sending ICE to airports?
Well, the lines that people are having to deal with are a problem, a big problem. So, you know, anything we can do to make travel a little more seamless right now, I think is fine. But that is a very temporary and not ideal solution. What we need to do is fund the Department of Homeland Security. That'll get our TSA agents paid. That'll get our Coast Guard paid. That'll get FEMA funded. And we can do this in a way that reaches a bipartisan compromise around this issue related to ICE. I think there are common sense reforms that both sides can support. But having an unfunded Department of Homeland Security at a moment when we have this heightened threat environment in the United States, it is absolutely unacceptable, and it is such a clear example of how Congress is broken in so many ways.
Congresswoman Dingell?
Well, I agree with you that Congress is broken, but here is the fact of the matter. I have a lot of questions about what he said. Are they going to be wearing masks? What are the functions that they're going to be performing? Are they going to make it...
I want to know whether they're going to be wearing masks, too. That's actually one of my main questions. You know? I'm very curious. Bipartisan support. No. He's a hack. That piece of shit, the one who's switched to independent so that he can survive the California redistricting, fuck him.
Complicated. Are people going to be more scared? Are they going to threaten people? Are people going to start to see people not even willing to travel because they're intimidated by them? Here's a reality. We could settle this tomorrow and fund TSA, FEMA, which, by the way, got gutted a year ago, not in this funding of Homeland Security by DOGE, and fund the Coast Guard and deal with the ICE issue, which has
to. He said he might caucus with the Dems for what it's worth. He's a fucking snake. Also, I heard the opposite. I heard that he'll continue to be caucusing with the Republicans. He's just trying to survive the redistricting. He doesn't believe in anything other than the fucking lobbying job he's going to net $400K a year from after he's done serving, you know, two or maybe three terms as a California rep.
Be dealt with front and center.
Yeah, look, I think I associate myself with the gentleman's from California's comments, right? I think he's spot on. Look, Congresswoman, Tom Homan was up on the Hill negotiating, trying to get this bill passed in the Senate. You've seen the White House give on lots of things, cameras, identification on ICE. The White House has given and given and given. Fact of the matter is Chuck Schumer is just a chicken shit, I'll say it, because he's concerned that he's not going to be the majority leader, doesn't want to pass anything that doesn't just blow up ICE. And so that's why we're stuck here. It's not anything to do. Everybody knows what has to be done. Chuck Schumer won't allow it to be done in the Senate. And that's where we are. American people, call the Senate. Complain to Chuck Schumer, tell him to pass the bill now.
That's not
100% true, 100% accurate.
Well, I like to align myself with the congresswoman. surprise, surprise. Look, in what world do you think it's really a good idea for ICE to be at airports? In what world do you think the American public actually want that when they have seen how ICE has behaved in cities, Republican and Democrat? Donald Trump and this administration is underwater with their immigration policies. Yes, they like how the border is being handled. They do not like how ICE is in their cities, and they sure won't like how ICE...
Well, actually, people don't like how the border is being handled right now either. It's pretty bad across the board in terms of Trump's approval.
Be in their airports, especially when they're still going to have to wait in line with them there and them being fearful. This is not good politically. This is not good policy, and this is not good politically. That's my free advice. But the reality is, the reason like the congresswoman was saying is, I think Americans are just like, let's take this piecemeal. TSA, pass it. If you obstruct TSA, I will have a problem with you. I don't think anybody on our side would actually obstruct it. Let's fund FEMA. No, we
Chuck,
all
Chuck
have
Schumer.
That. I don't. I would.
Chuck Schumer would not fund. Not supported not bills. That. We've got a discharge petition to fund the other three. And are
well,
you going to? I want to give you one simple issue.
Give them
the Constitution. Do you believe in the Constitution?
Of course I do.
And warrants? Do you not? Think
No. Hold on. No, the warrant issue is completely that's a red herring because
no, it's not.
Yes,
this is something I don't understand. Trump's doing exactly what he campaigned on the border issue. Why is he unpopular on it? Because people are unbelievably stupid. Because we are fucking retards. Because we're so it's unconscionable, and democracy doesn't work. And we shouldn't have a democracy. We already basically don't. We just shouldn't. America would be better in every sense if it was run in an authoritarian fashion, as through like the Chinese Communist Party. It would be vastly superior to what we have now. What we have now is basically just a stupider version of an authoritarian government.
Ma'am, the Constitution has, these immigration officials, when they're going in these specific things, there are administrative procedures that allow them to go in. They're not going in without authorization. There's administrative, there's law that allows them to do this without a warrant in those instances.
And listen,
ICE agents here, Tom Homan.
Is that what you're advocating for, though? I legitimately do not believe. I used to think that bourgeois democracy was still democracy and was better than authoritarianism, and I'm genuinely like being pulled back on that. We are right now hedging like global economic collapse and World War III. Not necessarily World War III, but like at the very least, like massive regional conflict in the Middle East, because everyone in charge right now is retarded and voted for by retards. Democracy didn't really save us here, you know? Like, if the population is so suffused with disinformation, you're basically not getting the outcomes you want. We're democracy in, like, the limitedest sense, but we're not getting the benefits. We're not getting the benefits of a democracy. The whole point of a democracy is that the voting of the people, it's supposed to represent the broader political will. Like, there's supposed to be some kind of connection between the will of the people and their interests, their self-interest, and what gets done in government. But right now, there's like none. There's basically none. So like, I don't know. At least the Chinese seem interested in state building, right? Like the America has been completely hollowed out by private equity type the investment, where we're basically just the stock market and nothing else. At least China builds stuff. Sorry, I disagree. The solution's better democracy, not authoritarianism. Yeah, no shit. But we don't have a better democracy right now. Why keep dancing around it and not commit to the bit and go full tanky? You people don't know enough about the world to use terms like this. Like, if you think that I would start playing defense for the Soviet Union. I guess my point is that our democracy has been manipulated, molested, you might say, to the point where the outcomes that it's producing have essentially nothing to do with democracy. So, like, we're democratic only in the sense that democracy is the vehicle for the authoritarianism that we live under. Does that make sense? What about vanguardism broadly? Fuck vanguardism, dude. Are you kidding me? In order to achieve a proletarian state, we need to create a distinct class of people with their own material interests, and they should be in charge of everything. Only they can achieve a proletarian state. Why, yes, I am familiar with Marx's writings on how the predominant ideology is the bourgeois ideology, and classes serve their own interest, and that if you create a disparate class with disparate interests, they're likely to create a state that reflects their own interests rather than those of the proletariat. Why do you ask?
Barack Obama gave Tom Homan an award. Tom Homan is going to run this professionally. He's trying to help Americans get to where they're doing, eliminate the lines, alleviate American suffering. ICE isn't going to be there. The ICE
but he
in
said
Milwaukee,
he wasn't changing any policy.
So on this warrant issue, I'll say that I actually voted for a judicial...
The elite don't have our interest? The elite don't have our interest, but the elite didn't used to have the same kind of capture they have over D.C. And also, the elite used to at least be interested in the strength of the country they occupied. Now, because capital is international, the ruling class of America do not give a shit about America. Like, the oligarchs, the tech CEOs, the investment firms, the hedge funds, whatever. They don't give a fuck, dude, because to them, America is just one blob of resources to pull wealth from and sort of coagulate in the speculative market. It's a consequence of over-financialization. There's nothing physical that they're interested. They don't give a fuck if the physical world rots away. The abstract representation of wealth that the stock market is and upholds is what's important to them. They will remove the physical if it substantiates the immaterial. It didn't used to be like that. It used to be like if a guy got wealthy building train yards or whatever, you know, it mattered if the trains and the railroads and the train yards and so on functioned and worked, because their wealth was built on the real world and its production. Other than noticing inadequacies of the system we have, which are indeed troubling and teetering, how is installing some new authoritarian leader a solution to this? I didn't say we should install an authoritarian leader. My argument, I guess, is that the artifices of democracy are now a weapon to be used against us. It's basically like one order out from civility politics. Just as people emphasize civility politics as a way of maintaining decorum, i.e. adherence to the status quo, the artifices of democracy are now a multi-layered labyrinthine net of bullshit rules that apply only in one direction and serve ultimately to reify the class interests of those in charge. It's always been like that to an extent. I just think it's gotten really bad lately, you know? Like democracy is a magic button where somehow 0% of Americans should believe in us giving Israel infinite money and weapons to destroy the world, but for some reason all of our politicians do. Democracy is a transfiguration machine. It's a transmogrifier. It's a box, and you put public will in one end, and then through this complicated internal mechanism that involves the consultancy class and lobbying and state-run media like Fox News, capital-run media, people like Barry Weiss, who are very obvious in what they do, but they're not doing anything fundamentally different to what the rest of the media does. And then the output is, we have to support our troops. The output is Americans only caring about the consequences of our actions if it affects our gas prices. My main gripe with your point is that any attempt to replicate China's system in the U.S. will fail because it'll be filled with retarded Americans in charge. Yeah, of course. Like, you can't trust Americans with anything. I agree with that, yeah. We wouldn't be able to maintain the Chinese bureaucracy because we would just be stupider than them on every level. Every state bureaucrat at every level would be lower IQ than their Chinese equivalent, so everything would fall apart. How about a monarchy? No. Is there any systematic way to turn this around that we can actually engage in? That's a very complicated question. I think the problem is that right now we have built a system where every path to power is, again, the point that I keep making lately, because it's really on my mind, is that it used to be the ultimate limit for every government was they had to contend with reality. If a government got too high on their own supply, if they got too irrational, corrupt, inefficient, or whatever else, they would fall. Like the French aristocracy, like the Roman Empire, like everything. If a government gets too inefficient, ineffective, distanced from reality, eventually it'll fall because reality is what it's up against, no matter how powerful the empire. America has been operating like a late stage empire in the sense that we have basically unlimited power, so much so that our ruling class has forgotten that there is a material reality they have to contend with. Trump every day wipes his ass with the law, with economic theory, with the world, and it doesn't matter. He insults every country on earth and they just keep coming back to lap it all up. Why? Because the business owners that rule them are also in line with us and with Trump. Like, European leaders can't do shit about us because they're beholden to the same economic interests as us. So at the end of the day, the people who really run the world, the people who actually have a say in how this all plays out, you know, they don't mind Trump. They love Trump. The instability that Trump creates is theirs to profit from. They love the insider trading. They love the regional instability. They love the keen investments. They love the fact that they get to be the only inside group in a global scheme of destabilization. They love that. They reifies their power. They love that shit. They love it. They love it so much. And all our democracy seems to have done is provide a legitimizing mechanism to this process. It is a fact that America is ruled by pedophile, rapist oligarchs who are openly, knowingly, consciously destroying the country for personal gain. It is a fact that the so-called opposition party, the Democrats, are at best comedically ineffective and at worst openly complicit in this. Both of these things are facts. All democracy has done is make this seem legitimate. And yet somehow, our leaders are objectively stupider and less competent than leaders in far less democratic countries. Not just China. What about Iran? I would absolutely, in a brain-mugging contest, put Iranian leadership up against our leaders. Easily Iran. Easily, without question. Because Iran faces threats. Iran has to promote their good people. Not good morally, but good as in, like, competent, you know? Our leaders are insanely fucking stupid, illiterate, pedophilic, whatever, compared to the rest of the world. I'm not making moral considerations here. I'm saying factually, this is what happens in a late-stage empire. Corruption, it wallows. There's no longer a reason to be competent. The only job of a politician is to be an administrator for a system that transfers wealth upwards, right? So they don't have anything else to worry about. American leadership doesn't have to worry about being killed if they do their job badly. Iranian leadership does. So inevitably, right, we decay. They seem more competent than us. That's why we're losing right now in the Middle East. It's just sickening to think about. It's a downward spiral, and I don't see an end to it. Eventually, we will run up against reality hard enough that there will be some kind of paradigm shift, and maybe people will reevaluate. After all, the fall of the Roman Empire didn't end the world, right? It ended the Roman Empire. But the Roman Empire took different shapes and forms. The Byzantine Empire, for a while, was ruled by competent people. The eastern and western parts of the Roman Empire, yeah, Italy still exists today. Rome still exists. It's a beautiful place. I hear it's lovely this time of year. It's the world isn't ending. America ending is not the world ending. But the American Empire, I do feel like we're reaching a paradigm shift. It's not just America, though. Because the capital interests, they run across the world, you know? It's a global order that we can't disentangle ourselves from because every country, except for like North Korea, is caught in it. Yeah, everyone's going down with the ship. So you're saying the problem is not the system, it's the American people? Long have I been an advocate for the great wisdom. My enemy is not the American ruling class. Instead, I wish death upon the American people. No, it's not. The system produced these outcomes. The system made this what it is. And by the way, in terms of like what dictates the outcomes that come from this country, in terms of what leads to the environmental outcomes that we see, democracy, I think, has a minimal impact compared to capitalism. I think the overwhelming power of the people with da money, of financialization, of the private equity-esque attitude we've taken towards gutting our own institutions, I think all of those that's just capitalism, baby. That's not democracy. Nobody's voting for those things specifically. It just happens anyway. And now, just to catch everyone up to reality, the segment we're watching right now on CNN is a conversation, well, it's a panel on the conversation that they had with the deportation czar, immigration czar, Tom Homan, where we are sending masked thugs, a paramilitary brown shirt club, to replace civil servants, the TSA, in our airports to deal with lines that are growing too large because of fuel price hikes following our illegal bombing of Iran, which has led to a global fuel shortage and the greatest oil shock in history. And our solution to this, in part, is to send the aforementioned brown shirts in to act as de facto security, which we need to do because the TSA aren't getting paid because Congress can't do anything, and Republicans would rather allow the TSA to continue to not be paid than cut any funding from ICE. So, like, that's the world we're in. That's just a reminder of where we are. Everything that I just described would have been unthinkable 15 years ago. Every chain together. Does this not feel a little dejecting to say that democracy is kind of irrelevant? Democracy is absolutely kind of irrelevant in America today. All the shit we're doing has nothing to do with the material interests of the common people. Nothing. There's no connection. Venezuela? No connection. Cuba? No connection. Iran? No connection. Israel? No connection. None of this has anything to do with changing the lives or the circumstances of the people in this country. Hell, I would even argue stuff like the mass deportations from ICE weren't either. They were just a cynical hack attempt from capitalists to throw some red meat at the Republican voting bloc, which is, of course, bloodthirsty and inhuman. The cattle needed something to chew on while they could, you know, so they're distracted from the gutting of the country. So I would argue, no, like the democracy is just the legitimizing mechanism. The democracy is the function. It's the operating system through which we are running the oligarchical software, I guess, which doesn't mean the democracy is irrelevant. If every single American today suddenly became a socialist and voted in all the right people in the next elections, things would change. But they won't. And that's because of the system. Like, saying that America is fundamentally better because it's a democracy is like pointing at a computer with child porn on it and being like, dude, it's not an issue. The computer could run anything. It just happens to have child porn on it. What's the problem? You could literally like change the, well, the outcome, like one might say that the outcome is the purpose of the system a little bit. You know, the purpose of the system is its outcome. I feel like you're missing the forest for the trees, I guess. I argue the democracy isn't the legitimizing element. It's still an obstruction and they don't want it. I think that, and this I think, in my opinion, is the big split between the oligarchs and the corporatists. I get your point about analogy. I don't care. You, if you understood it, then it was a fine analogy. You're just whining. The big split between the oligarchs and the corporatists is the corporatists were smart enough to understand that keeping the status quo was a way of continuing the system, continuing the legitimization of this process of wealth extraction. The oligarchs, who are greedy and stupid and a product of the system the corporatists built, believe they can do away with the artifice. You know what I mean? The oligarchs are stupid enough to think like, we don't need all these complicated legitimizing systems. We can just fucking just do it directly, man. Like Alex Karp and the Palantir people, you know, Sam Altman, OpenAI, they're all really open about this. They're like, we're basically headed towards like a techno dystopian monarchical state anyway. So we might as well act like it. We might as well be open. They don't see a value in maintaining the illusion of a functioning democracy. Ramble, ramble.
Warrant requirement in order to enter homes. I've also voted to say we should have agreements so that ICE is not operating near childcare centers or near schools. I think, and I've also supported, by the way, though, making sure that local jurisdictions honor detainer requests when they come for ICE for people who have committed crimes in addition to be in the country illegally. So I think that is the sort of compromise we need around this issue. I think that the things I just listed are supported by the vast majority of Americans. And so we need Congress to come together to reflect where.
I don't know if this is an indictment of the democratic system when the checks and safeguards of the systems are being circumvented or flatly ignored. If the system has safeguards that can be circumvented or ignored, that's a problem with the system. If you elect in politicians who are obviously stupid and evil because half of America has capital-backed media lying to them nonstop, that is a systemic failure. It is a systemic failure that capitalism allows all media in this country to be ruled by like four people, all of whom fuck children. That is a systemic failure. If you allow capitalists, the capital class, to buy media and therefore buy people's opinions, then you can't be surprised when this you produce anti-democratic outcomes. Like, that is part of the system. Guys, we have a democracy. One person, one vote. Also, everyone's opinions, from their textbooks to the news media they watch, can be bought up by like three people. Bit of a contradiction there. No disagreement, but I'm having trouble identifying a political system which is immune to human motive subversion. There's a difference between human motive subversion, which is unavoidable, and we will allow five people to own all media in the country. That's the capital class. It's not just human motive, it's that they have a distinct capital interest. In this case, subverting democracy in favor of oligarchy.
What the American people are asking.
And if anybody thinks that ICE is going to be with masks and like they're going to be look, they look like glorified TSA.
We don't know though.
Okay, well, show up at DSA tomorrow, a DCA tomorrow. Now. I'll be there tomorrow.
But listen, this is the thing. It's like, this is also what blew my mind this Sunday morning. Is he's like, we haven't figured out the plan. We'll figure it out by tonight. Do you know how many airports are in America? Do you know how much
we're even going to? They don't
or
know.
Or how
yet.
Much I'm training sure Tom these ICE agents should have before they actually go out? What are we doing?
President Trump has said that if this is not resolved, he's sending ICE to the airports to fill in for TSA. Now, I'm not asking you to comment on the political element of this.
Why not?
But what's the training necessary to do that job effectively? How long does it take? How involved is it?
So to become a TSO, we have to go to FLETC, Federal Law Enforcement Training Camp.
That's about 2 to 3 weeks, depending on your program. And then afterwards, you have about 2 additional months of training on the floor. We learn X-ray operations. We learn how to work, you know, our walkthrough, metal detectors. There's a lot of ins and outs of becoming a TSO. Those officers are not trained to do so. They're ICE. They're federal law enforcement in a different spectrum.
Hmm. And so what's your degree of concern if that is what it comes to, that there will be ICE officers there doing the job of trained TSOs?
That's not a systemic failure. It's a user error. You think it's a user error that the laws this country has allowed a very small number of people with very obviously evil beliefs to rule all media and control people's opinions? You think that's just user error? You're literally saying the system didn't fail us, we failed the system. Ridiculous.
I think it's going to be terrible in all retrospects because, one, the fear-mongering, the aggression, they're cops at the end of the day. That's a whole other type of training. We're taught to be more so customer-friendly. We're taught to be more so understanding of people's concerns. Law enforcement, that's not their realm.
Hmm. Let me ask you, I mean, it's a peculiar question to ask as we're talking about people who are not being paid, but I read that you did this because you wanted to serve your country. Do you miss it? Do you miss the job?
Absolutely, I do. I miss the purpose.
Many travelers are suffering at the airport today as security.
We're thinking about coming to this airport, giving away free food. There's a line.
Ends, but Border Patrol. How did TSA?
This is very doomer-pilling. I mean, it's pretty, like, it sucks, I guess, that we had to see the decline, the imperial decline, you know? If we were born in, like, 1932 or something, we probably would have our whole lives been like, up and up. But, you know, it has to come down eventually. I don't know if it's going to come down in my lifetime. It kind of feels like it is right now, but I don't know. What's the difference between Xi Jinping and an emperor in terms of how his job actually rolls out? Well, I'm not an expert in the subject, but I'm pretty sure that Xi Jinping is basically, like, the ultimate bureaucrat. Like, he's the head of state, of course, but also he has, like, a managerial job. An emperor usually is a symbolic ruler with ultimate authority, but the actual, like, day-to-day decision-making is handled by people beneath him. He probably has fewer concubines than an emperor does, but I could be wrong on that. That might not be true. He's in for life. Xi Jinping? Yeah, that is true. That is one way in which he is similar to an emperor. It is a fact that Xi Jinping is a better ruler for China than Trump is for America, but that's a pretty low bar. I guess I would argue that, like, Xi Jinping in his lifetime has secured a greater degree of political and material development in China than American leadership has in the past 20 or so years over here. All America has done in the past 20 years is seen its institutions, its physical world gutted in favor of financialization, which she has tried to prevent to an extent, though China is also capitalist and therefore eventually will be, you know, subsumed by the same interests, I think, unless something changes. So China's winning? China's objectively winning on the global stage right now. Absolutely. Take a look at a changing graph over time of which country the respondent trusts more, America or China. Over time, more of the world has shifted towards China as America has grown increasingly erratic.